Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
No?
It's okay. We'll be recording. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Can everybody hear me okay? Is the volume okay? Wonderful. Thank you. So before I begin my talk this evening, I just want to take a moment to really dedicate our collective practice this evening, our zazen, our chants, and our teaching tonight. I want to dedicate it to our Dharma brother, Daitoku, who in this moment is likely in the last days of his life. He has gone through so much in his life, he and his wife Mary, and he has been an absolute warrior. He has been a Dharma friend, a Dharma brother, and he has gone through all of this with immense grace. And so I just want to dedicate our collective practice this evening to Daitoku, to our brother. May his transition be peaceful. And so I'd like to begin this evening by offering a Zen koan, much like last week. We're not going to do a koan discussion this evening, but I think this koan really sets the tone and introduces what I'd like to share with all of you this evening. And so this koan comes from Zen Master Dogen's 300 koan collection, the Shinji Shobogenzo. It is case number 77. And it is titled, Disclosing is Not as Good as Practice. The main case. Zen Master Huang Zhong said to the assembly, to speak about 10 feet is not as good as to practice 1 foot. To speak about 1 foot is not as good as to practice 1 inch. Dongshan Liangji said, speak what cannot be practiced. Practice what cannot be spoken. The commentary. You should clearly realize that it is not wrong to speak of 10 feet. It's just that to practice 1 foot is far more important than speaking about 10 feet. But do not think that either is lacking in virtue. In each, the totality of ceaseless practice is present. Therefore, the true meaning of Master Dongshan's speak what cannot be practiced, practice what cannot be spoken, is that practice and speech thoroughly interpenetrate. Activity and expression are interdependent. Thus, a full day of speaking is none other than a full day of practice, and a full day of practice is none other than a full day of speaking. The capping verse. Practice without understanding is like eyes opened in the darkness. Understanding without practice is like eyes closed in the daylight. When practice and understanding have merged, eyes are open in the bright light of day. This koan, like so many koans, can easily be misunderstood, or perhaps it can be understood in different ways, but like all koans, it is not meant to be solved like a puzzle or a riddle. It is like a pointer. It is a map that guides us on the path to understanding. And so this evening, I'd like to talk a little bit about two very important words that we hear very frequently in Zen. Those two words are practice and actualization. I think that any true Zen practice, or any true spiritual practice for that matter, is going to have different aspects to it, different facets to it. it's very difficult to say that any spiritual path, including Zen, is just any one thing. Some larger practices, such as practices in a monastery or residential setting, they're likely to contain a number of different aspects or facets to that practice, each equally important, including things like ritual and ceremony, work practice, and other aspects of the practice. While smaller practices or smaller practice centers may contain perhaps a few less aspects, but still multiple aspects of the practice itself. Yet if we look at practice, if we look at it like a tree, those various aspects, those various facets are really like branches that come forth from the strong trunk and the roots of the tree. And in Zen, I think that the two most important aspects of this path are perhaps Zazen and precepts. They're like the two wings of Zen practice, Zazen and precepts. There are no precepts without Zazen, and there is no Zazen without precepts. Both are essential, and crucially, both must be understood and experienced. Our opening Dharma Dharani, which you just heard me say a few moments ago, it ends by saying, may we completely understand and actualize this Tathagata's true meaning. And so this evening, I'd like to talk about those two very important words, practice and actualization. Practice is a very important word to understand in Zen. We should all have an understanding of what practice means. Actualization is perhaps one of the most important and most powerful words in all of Buddhism. And someone in our community, in our Thursday evening group, just maybe a couple of months ago, while I was after giving a talk, this person asked, he said, you've mentioned the word practice multiple times during the talk. And he asked me, what does this mean? What does this word practice mean in Zen? And it's a great question. It's a wonderful question. It's a question that I think all of us should ask ourselves and be reminded of from time to time. And I think I responded to his question that evening. I said that practice is what we do. Practice is what we do every day, both on and off the cushion, in the Zendo and outside the Zendo, as we walk this path. Practice is ultimately how we show up in the world for ourselves and for others. And so what is our practice? What do we consider to be our practice? Each one of us here, each one of us present, both in the Zendo and online, each one of us made a decision this evening to come to practice, to be here for this program. Again, whether it's in person or online, each one of us decided to come here for Zen practice. And so what does that mean for each of us that we made this decision to come to Zen practice this evening? We may misunderstand this to mean that coming to the Zendo or coming to practice online, joining online, we look at it like, well, I'm coming to practice, or I'm going to practice this evening. I'm going to the Zendo. I'm going to log on. I'm going to practice. And we think of it as when we walk through the door of the Zendo and we come into this room, we are coming to practice. When we log on to Zoom, I'm coming to practice. I'm joining practice in this moment. But we should understand what practice truly means from a Zen perspective and how it relates to actualizing that practice. Because to feel that I'm going to practice this evening, I'm going to get in my car, I'm going to drive to the Zendo, I'm going to practice. Or I'm going to log on Zoom and I'm going to practice. I'm going to join in practice. This is a misunderstanding to think that that is just what practice means. Practice, that word practice, is defined in a couple of different ways. As a noun, It is often defined as the actual application or use of an idea, belief, teaching, or method, as opposed to just theories relating to it. Practice is also defined as a verb, to perform, such as an activity, or exercise repeatedly or regularly in order to improve or maintain one's proficiency or consistency, or to carry out or perform, such as an activity or a method, habitually or regularly. And the word actualize, which I said is one of the most important and most powerful words in Buddhist practice, actualize is really defined as to make something real, or to see something through to fruition, or see it through to the end. Actualization is also defined as the immediate, embodied, and direct manifestation of enlightenment in daily life through practice, rather than a future goal. I'll say that again. The immediate, embodied, and direct manifestation of enlightenment in daily life through practice, rather than a future goal. In other words, we make real this practice. We make real our innate true nature, our Buddha nature, in our daily life, right here, right now. It is not something far off in the future, some future goal that I am going to live an enlightened life at some point in the future, perhaps after I've practiced for 10, 20, 30 years. I'm going to live an awakened life, a skillful life, sometime in the future after I've practiced for many, many years. It is the immediate, embodied, direct manifestation of enlightenment in daily life, rather than a future goal. One of Dogen's most well-known writings from his Shobogenzo, the Genjo Koan, is translated as actualizing the fundamental point. Actualizing the fundamental point. And the title of my talk this evening was kind of a play on words on Dogen's Genjo Koan. I titled my talk this evening, Making It Real. Actualizing is the point. To see the reality of our life as it is, as it truly is, and to make every day our practice, every aspect of our lives our practice, is the fundamental point of practice. For me, it is to see that reality and to make every day of our life our practice, to make every aspect of our lives our practice, is the fundamental point. And this title, the Genjo Koan, that title has significant meaning, and it has been translated in various ways. Many different scholars and translators have translated what that title, what that word, which Dogen uses repeatedly throughout the Shobogenzo, not just in this fascicle, in this essay, but this word, Genjo Koan, is translated in many different ways. But my favorite is perhaps this. Many scholars say that Genjo is said to literally mean something like becoming manifest, or immediately manifesting right in this and every moment. It does not, however, refer to the manifesting of something previously not manifested, but to the immediate presence or presencing moment by moment of all life as it is. It is not manifesting something that has previously not manifested, but rather the immediate presence or presencing moment by moment of all life as it is, of our true nature as it truly is. And so thus, Dogen's use of that word, Genjo Koan, which again he uses repeatedly in his Shobogenzo, what he was really pointing to was to our manifesting or actualizing, making real our Buddha nature, our true nature, through our everyday bodhisattva practice in the world, to what we do every single day in the world, to how we show up every single day in the world. In Dogen's story, when Dogen first went to China, he went as a young man. It said he was about 23 years old when he went to China, when he traveled to China from Japan. Dogen had been practicing Buddhism in Japan for at least a decade. It's believed he first became ordained as a monk in Japan at the age of 13. At the age of 23, he traveled to China because he felt that something was missing in the Buddhism that he had been practicing in Japan. He was searching. He was searching for a deeper truth. And when he arrived in China, when he first arrived in China via ship, Dogen had his first encounter, it's believed, with a 61-year-old monk who was a tenzo at a monastery. He was the monastery tenzo, the cook. And Dogen had an encounter with this monk. He first saw the monk. He was at the ship. It's believed he was retrieving ingredients, rice and other ingredients that he needed for the monastery, as he was the tenzo, and this was his responsibility. Dogen engaged in a conversation about the Dharma with this monk, and Dogen was immediately impressed by this 61-year-old tenzo. And Dogen wanted to continue the conversation, but the monk said he had to leave. He had to return to his monastery, as he was the tenzo and he had responsibilities. He had responsibilities to take care of. He had work to do as the tenzo at his monastery. Dogen really wanted the tenzo to remain so that he could continue to have this wonderful Dharma conversation that he was having with him. And he said, why do you have to go back to the monastery to do this work? Can't you get other monks who have perhaps a lower status than yourself? You're a 61-year-old monk. You're very experienced. Can't you get other younger monks, perhaps, to do that work, that everyday work? And the monk explained to Dogen, no, because it is my responsibility. This is my work. This is what I do. My life as a monk involves this work. It is my work, it is my responsibility, and I need to go and take care of my work. Dogen was not satisfied immediately with this, but this was his first illumination, his first really deep insight into what ultimately he learned from his teacher in China. Our teacher Roshi used to often talk to us, and I was having a conversation recently with Gesho about this. Our Roshi used to tell us, he would talk about practice as the content of our lives versus the context of our lives. He would talk about content versus context. And not everyone understood immediately what Roshi meant by this. The question, why do we practice? What do we hope for from practice? When we decide to come to this practice, what do we hope for? Why do we do it? There's many different answers, as I've said many times before. We could say many different things about why we practice, why we engage in this practice. We might want to develop more calm. We might want to develop more discipline. But the question is why? Why do we want to cultivate more calm? Why do we want to cultivate more discipline? We may say we want to cultivate more compassion, more kindness, more love, but the question is why? Why do we want to cultivate more compassion, more kindness, more love? We might even go deeper and say because we want to understand our true self. I want to understand who is this self that I call myself. And this is getting more to the heart of the matter of Zen practice. And yet the question remains, why? Why do we want to know our true self? Why do I want to know what this self that I call myself truly is? Who is this self that I call myself? Why do I want to know this? I think ultimately this practice, as we've said many times, is about being in relationship with others. It is about being of benefit to others. This is the Bodhisattva ideal. This is the Bodhisattva way. We wish to be of benefit for others. We are always in relationship with others. And so if I wish to cultivate more calm, more discipline, more kindness, more love, more compassion in my life, it is because I am in relationship with others and I wish to be of benefit to others. If I wish to know myself, to truly know myself, who this self is, it is about realizing that this self is not separate from everyone and everything else, because I am always in relationship. And my intention, my aspiration is to be of benefit to others, to be of benefit to the world. Whatever the answer we give to that question of why we come to practice or why we first come to practice, for me it comes back to this essence, that we practice so that we can skillfully be in relationship with others and so that we can truly be of benefit to others. Several months back I gave a teaching on the traditional Zen 10 ox herding pictures. Some of you may have been here that evening for that teaching on the Zen ox herding pictures. But I spoke about the last picture, the 10th picture. It's always my favorite because that picture is titled Back in the Marketplace. Back in the marketplace. After we have matured through all of the stages of practice, we have deepened our practice, we have deepened our insight. We don't go to some elevated place up on a mountaintop or in a cave to exist in isolation. Our practice brings us right back to the marketplace. It brings us right back to the heart of life, to being with others, to being of benefit to others. And so our practice begins at the beginning and we go full circle and come back to the marketplace. If we think of practice as solely being an activity, perhaps, if we think of Zen practice as solely being an activity that we come to, say, a few times a week or a few times a month at the Zendo or online, there's this danger that practice simply becomes a part of the content of our lives. It becomes just this other thing, like a hobby or an activity, like going to the gym or going to yoga, going to a pottery class or a cooking class. If we treat practice as just being this activity, something that we go from time to time, there is that danger that it starts to become just a part of the content of our lives, just another thing that we do from time to time. It becomes an activity that we add to our resume, the stuff that we do, the stuff that we accumulate in our lives. But when we truly begin to understand practice, we become that practice. We take it out of the Zendo and we begin to live that practice. We begin to live that practice. So again, when we make that decision to come to practice this or any other night, we're not just coming to practice when we come here. We're not just coming to practice when we walk through the door. We're not just coming to practice when we log on online. But that practice continues when that final bell rings and we walk out that door. Practice has not ceased. Practice continues out that door. When we log off, when we click that button on Zoom and we log off of the Zoom for the evening, practice has not ended. Practice continues ceaselessly, moment by moment. We take that practice with us because our life is that practice. In that way, practice becomes the context of our lives rather than the content. It is how we show up in the world daily for ourselves and for the benefit of all beings. Practice isn't simply an activity that we engage in periodically, nor is it something that to blindly believe in. Our practice is not something to believe in. Our practice is something to do. something that we do moment by moment every day of our lives. Not just when we're on the cushion, not just when we're in the zendo, not just when we're formally practicing. But again, we take the practice with us wherever we go, whatever we do, whoever we are with, we are always practicing. It's what we do in daily life. It is our way of being in the world. There is no separation between our practice and our life. Life is our practice. Our practice is our life. This is what it means to actualize the practice. Not just understand, though understanding is of course essential. We must understand practice. We must understand Zazen. We must understand the Dharma. But understanding is not enough. May we completely understand and actualize this Tathagata's true meaning. It is making it real in our lives and seeing it through to fruition, seeing it through to the end. This is what actualization means. The late Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh used to frequently say, "My life is my teaching." Not just the words, not just the sutras, not just the teachings that I formally give. My life is my teaching. I think each one of us can definitely say, life, my life is my practice. My life is my practice. It is not just my formal practice. It is not just when I'm studying the Dharma. It is not just when I'm sitting Zazen, when I'm chanting. My life is my practice. There is no separation. What we practice here in the Zendo, in our formal practice, we offer that to the world in our daily life. Last Thursday evening in our conversation, we were talking a bit during our Dharma discussion about interconnectedness, that interdependence and that interconnection, how each of us has unique things about ourselves. We each have unique gifts. We may have unique abilities. And Peter shared something about to the effect of how I see it as offering whatever gifts I may have, whatever unique gifts, whatever I have, I see it as offering it to others in the world. I see that as an offering that I make to others. This is how we make life our practice. Our practice is our life. And we should understand that, as the opening koan suggests, that both aspects, the koan says both aspects, are the ceaseless totality of our practice. Both aspects are the ceaseless totality of our practice. Going back to Zen Master Dogen, in one of his essays in the Shobogenzo, the Gyobutsu Iiji, which is translated as "On the Everyday Behavior of a Buddha Doing Their Practice." Dogen writes, "All Buddhas, without exception, make full use of their everyday behavior for their practice. This is what is meant by a Buddha doing their practice. A Buddha doing their practice does not refer to a Buddha's realizing enlightenment, or to a Buddha's transforming themselves for the sake of helping others. Nor does it refer to a Buddha as the embodiment of the Dharma, or to a Buddha as others see them embodied. It is beyond the state of a Buddha at their initial realization or at their fundamental realization. And it is beyond the state of a Buddha in their inherent enlightenment or their going beyond being enlightened. A Buddha who is equivalent to any of these can never stand shoulder to shoulder with a Buddha who is doing their practice. Keep in mind that Buddhas, being within the Buddha's way, do not go looking for realization. Becoming proficient in one's daily conduct whilst on the path towards Buddhahood is what is meant by a Buddha just doing their practice. Because this Buddha, who is doing their practice, manifest the four modes of behavior in everything they do. They manifest these modes right out in the open. Before they speak, they give a hint of their spiritual activity, which is woven into whatever they do. This activity goes beyond time or place or being Buddha or doing some practice. If you are not a Buddha doing your practice, you will not let go of your attachment to Buddha or your attachment to Dharma, and you will be grouped with those who deny that Buddha and Dharma can be found within themselves. Buddha and Dharma is found within each one of us. Buddha and Dharma is found within each one of us. Not sometime in the future, not 10 or 20 or 30 years from now will we find Buddha and Dharma within us. There is nothing to find. It is already here. Buddha and Dharma are within each one of us. Practice and actualization is the immediate moment-by-moment manifestation of Buddha and Dharma within each one of us. What is already within each one of us, we manifest that in the world. We actualize it in the world through our practice, which is not just here, not just on the cushion, but it is out there. It is everywhere we go. We immediately manifest it. Not someday, now. Every day. Now, will we be perfect Buddhas every day out in the world? I know I'm not. We won't be perfect Buddhas manifesting our Buddha nature, actualizing our Buddha nature in the world every day. We will make mistakes. We will get it wrong. But we come back every day to practice. We come back to that immediate manifesting, that immediate presence or presencing of our true nature, our innate nature, that Buddha and Dharma that is within each one of us. Dogen points to this fundamental truth in just the opening lines of the EEG. He says, all Buddhas without exception make full use of their everyday behavior for their practice. This is what is meant by a Buddha doing their practice. Dogen is saying that it isn't just about seeking enlightenment, seeking awakening, and it isn't about being completely transformed all at once. It is about doing our practice in the world each and every day. Our practice is what is taking place every single day. It is what is happening right in front of us each and every day. The transformation that we can experience through practice is always unfolding. Every single day it is unfolding in this precious and mysterious life. But we must be present. We must show up for our practice in its totality, in all of its aspects, which is really only one seamless and ceaseless practice every single day. This is what Dogen often referred to as practice-realization or actualization. That the totality of our practice is not just an activity or some means to reach some future goal of awakening, but again, the immediate, daily, present moment expression of being awake. That is what is meant by a Buddha or a Bodhisattva, you and I, doing our practice every day to the best of our ability in all aspects of our life. Practice isn't just something abstract apart from our daily activities and conduct. It is our daily activities and conduct. Dogen says that becoming proficient in one's daily conduct whilst on the path towards Buddhahood is what is meant by a Buddha just doing their practice. And this, perhaps ultimately, is the fundamental point, the Genjo Koan, actualizing the fundamental point, manifesting immediately, moment by moment, the fundamental point. What is ultimately the fundamental point of our practice, and perhaps the most difficult point of our practice, is to patiently, day by day, attentively move from practice being just the content of our lives, just something that we do from time to time, to being the very context of our lives, understanding who we truly are and how we show up in the world every day, how we show up for ourselves, how we show up for all other beings, how we show up for the planet. It is being that moment by moment immediate presence or presencing of our true nature, of who we are, on and off the cushion, inside and outside of the Zendo. All of it. All of it. From Zazen to ritual to study to sutras to going grocery shopping to going to work to driving in traffic, spending time with our kitties, spending time with our loved ones. All of it. All of it is the ceaseless totality of our practice. This is our Zen practice.